John chapter 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath already everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation judgment, but on the contrary is passed from death unto life. The person that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ has life. Chapter 10 of John. Chapter 10, if I may, in verse 10, the Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Every human has physical existence. They need to have spiritual life. They have physical life. They need to have spiritual life. Spiritual life. And that's a relationship to God. Everyone is dead in trespasses and sin. That means they're not alive spiritually. They need to be. God has made it possible by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ to have eternal life, a unique, personal, permanent, unending, never disrupted relationship to God. That's a relationship. People need life. They have physical life. They need a relationship to God, spiritual life. Now, having said that, got that part? Got that. Now, in order to have life, it needs to be outlived. The life needs to be lived. Lived. Now, that's the second part. Having life is one thing. Living, letting it outlive itself physically is another. Going to work, home, school, eating, drinking, and all of that. Now, spiritual life needs to be outworked. You can possess it, but it needs to be outworked. How is it outworked? John chapter 5. Our Lord Jesus Christ tells us he is the perfect example to make it possible on how we are to outlive that life. And thus we share together. And that's what we've been doing, trying to get it so you could read this statement and all through this particular section and to understand it. I mean, to walk out that door and possess it, make it work. How am I going to do like he did? I do nothing of myself. I'm trying to help you understand how that works, because that's the outworking of life. He, perfect man, providing a perfect Savior, providing perfect salvation, perfect life, tells us how to, his own personal humanity, to outlive, how to live the life of God. How to live it. Now, with that in mind, so we want to look at that. Verse 19, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Verse 30, I can of my own self do nothing, as I hear I judge. My judgment is just. Why? Because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. Verse 31, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Humanity, God made humanity to reflect and represent him. Therefore, God's wonderful purpose in creation is to demonstrate his character and conduct. He's to demonstrate his character and conduct, primarily first, in the light of the angels, the good ones and the bad ones. And God is going to demonstrate his character and conduct in front of them. Now, in front of them. And God's design is going to be allowing, God's design of the angels allows them to fail, to falter. God designed them that way. Failure and fault, he made it. Now, in the light of their failure and fault, God took a second step to show his character and conduct. And he does so to show that he, to the angels, remember, hell is prepared for the devil and his angels, Matthew 25:41. So that's for them. Now God, here they are, and a whole host of them, under Lucifer, son of the morning, the devil himself. And he's going to demonstrate, is God fair? Is God right? Is God's judgment out of place? Absolutely not. And God, in the light of God's character and conduct, he's going to demonstrate his character and conduct in another way, in another way. And he creates the heaven and the earth. And in doing so, he makes visible the invisible. God, the creation, flowers, bugs, bees, sun, moon, stars, everything in creation, all of creation, the wonder of your human body, all of your creation reveals God, his wonderful, marvelous, majestic handiwork, his ability to produce life, all kinds of life. Now, in the light of that, God created all of that, and then on the sixth day, God created man in his image and likeness. And remember, the word image has to do with that which resembles. Likeness, an additional word giving explanation, has to do with resemblance. So we got resemblance, I should say, and representation. And so here's Adam and Eve in the image and likeness of God. And we're all out of Adam and Eve. And like it. And we represent God in a mirror, like a mirror. You look at the mirror, derived image. The mirror looks, you look in the mirror and the mirror shows yourself. You are the origin. The mirror shows the object. The origin. Where does it show it? In itself. So when you look in the mirror, you see yourself. When God looked at human beings, he wanted to see himself. He wanted to show himself, to show his character and conduct to the angels and to all of forever for his own glory, for his own great namesake. Now, and keeping in mind that, in the light of that, let me do it rather directly over to Colossians chapter 1. In the book of Colossians, chapter 1, if I may, and starting, if I can, in verse 15, speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, 1:15, Colossians, who, our Lord Jesus Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. He makes God visible. The word image there is derived image. Derived image. He, the source of his being is God. God. He wonderfully reflects, represents God in his wonderful, wonderful person. To see the invisible God, see the Lord Jesus Christ, God incarnate, God in the flesh. He is the derived image, the source. He, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, is to show the Lord Jesus Christ, is to show God, I should say. Now, another way you can get the derived image is just think of the sun shining in the middle of the day on the lake or on the ocean. You look at the lake or the ocean, you'll see the sun. The sun is the origin. The water gets its... Where does the water get its source? Where does the water get the sun from? Up here. And the water is showing the sun. The sun. It's the derived image. God, Jesus Christ, is the derived image of God in a most perfect way, the most wonderful way. He's made in the image and likeness of God. And you would recall and keep in mind, and I'll read verse 16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. We share them all. All kinds of stuff's invisible, so don't get hung up with an invisible God. Invisible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, or principalities, or powers, or things, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things consist and are held together. The Lord Jesus Christ is the perfect example to reflect God. He tells us if you have life, you want to have the life of God, and you want to express that life in a unique, wonderful relationship made in his image and likeness. Add to that, we share together, Genesis 1:28, Adam and Eve were to rule, have dominion over. They were to rule dinosaurs and rhinoceroses and every tyrannosauruses and everything. They were huge animals and all kinds. They were the custodians of the earth. They were given the right to rule all of that which dwelt on planet Earth. Why? Because they reflected the image of God. God is the creator and the ruler. So when you looked at Adam and Eve, you would see God's rule as they ruled all of the animals, fish, birds. As they ruled it, you would see them and you would see God's rule. Because they were rulers. They represented the rule of God in a wonderful way. Adam and Eve sinned, and they lost that privilege, and the devil took it over. And he became the god of this world system. Now, in the process of that, remember, Adam and Eve sinned, as we share together. And the query was, the quest for them to seek was that they could be as gods, knowing good and evil. The good, who is good? God is good. Where does the evil come from? There is no evil until the devil. And the devil said to Adam and Eve, you can know good and evil just like God. Only you're going to know it like I know it. I know there's a God from a wrong position. And Adam and Eve sinned, and they all chose the same position. They lost their privileged position and being in the image and likeness of God, being to rule over the earth. They lost all the blessing, the benefits, and the bliss. They lost it all when they did that sin. Now, and remember now these pieces. In Isaiah 14:14, you don't have to turn there. In Lucifer, son of the morning, sin. He said the same word that you have in Genesis 1:26, in the image and likeness of God, the word likeness, all the way over to Isaiah 14:14, I will be like, L-I-K-E, I will be like the Most High God. I'm going to be like him. And Adam and Eve, if you disobey God, you'll be like me, and you'll be able to challenge God, compete with God, question God, doubt God. So here is Adam and Eve, and here are we. We are the people, the resultant. Our Lord Jesus Christ is perfect man and perfect God. And in his perfect humanity, he tells us how to live life. How is the life of God to be lived? Hebrews chapter 2. And may I remind you, our Lord Jesus Christ is perfect man. What about perfect man? Verse 2:9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. He was crowned with glory and honor, his perfect manhood, his perfect humanity. He is for God created man for his own glory and honor. Our Lord Jesus Christ, as perfect man, is going to honor God in a perfect way, the God's intended way of man being in his image and likeness. He's going to reflect him, represent him. So when you see the Lord Jesus Christ, you see the invisible God. When you see Adam and Eve before they sinned, you would have seen a wonderful God who was Lord of lords and King of kings. Now, having said that, over, if you would please, in your Bible, over to, well, for time's sake, it slid down. Over, if you would please, to Romans, just for the sake of doing it. Romans in chapter 1. And remember now, verse 20, Romans 1:20. The Lord Jesus Christ represents, displays for us life, how to live the life God intended you to have. Romans 1:20, for the invisible things, remember man, all human beings, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, underlined, being understood how, by the things that are made, everything that is made is marvelously made, every law of science, every bit of medicine, every law in everything, every bug, bird, bee, bacteria, parasite, you look at them. Neutron, proton, electron, whatever you want to look at. Wow. The invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead deity, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, their thought process, and their foolish heart was darkened, etc. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. The Lord Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem of Judea, perfect humanity, perfect deity in one, the perfect man. And thus, he was the sinless Son of God. He had no sin. He was perfect. Sin, what is sin? Sin is that which is not perfect. So when you say God is perfect, that's right. He's sinless. Sinless. Perfect means there's no sin. There is no sin. Sin doesn't belong. He isn't sinless. He's perfect. He's perfect. No sin. No sin. And our Lord Jesus Christ was born the sinless Son of God for to be the perfect substitute, perfect sacrifice, the perfect Savior. He had to die, for the wages of sin is death. He had to die. So that he would pay the penalty. He died for us. And thus, when he died for all of us. He injected, Adam sinned on behalf of all of us. The last Adam took sin to the cross and paid the penalty, as it were, so that all Adam, everyone, humans are sinners. The Lord Jesus Christ is able to save whoever is in Adam. All humans are able to be saved. Christ died for the sin of the world, the whole sin of the world, not for part of it. He had to die for all of it, all of it. When he injected the cure, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin, the life of the flesh is in the blood. When he injected the cure, he injected it for all human beings. Now, God doesn't say, what kind of sin do you have? How bad have you been? The gospel never says that to you. It says to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's all it says. You can go to the worst guy or the best guy. They need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Anyone, anywhere, anyhow. Christ died for the sin of all. Now, so in the light of that, he made possible the impossible. That is, that we could go and have a normal, unique, personal relationship to God that he intended us to have. And we are to show that relationship, and he provides that relationship for us in a most unique way in himself. He is the standard. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the standard for that relationship. What is life? Life is found in the person of Jesus Christ. The standard for life is the Lord Jesus. What do we do for temperature? Body temperature. Well, we don't have a... What we do is test everybody and find a norm. Find 98 degrees, 97.5, 99. 98 degrees, we find 98 degrees, and we measure your temperature. It's a standard. How do we do your blood pressure? We do your blood pressure, 120 over 80 or whatever it is, and we measure your blood pressure with a standard. What is the standard for eternal life? The Lord Jesus Christ is the standard. God measures life by his Son. His Son made it all possible in a unique and wonderful way. So when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, he makes possible the impossible life. Oh, not just life. You don't want to stop there. You want to stop the outliving of that life. Life is to be lived. Life is not a passive. It's an active thing. Life is active. Life, he's going to show us the life and provide for us the life. And he is the standard to make that life work. So now, John chapter 17. Trying to move along just to get you the idea, you know, to get to it. John chapter 17 and verse 18. You remember, up in the upper room, he tells you, you know it, we're going to put it to work here. John 17, 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, God, perfect humanity, talking to God the Father. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. So God the Son sends us into the world in a unique way. As he was sent, so are we sent into the world. How are we sent into the world? Verse 21, that they may know, why are we sent into the world? That the world may know that they may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them. Why? That they may be one even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that... purpose, they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know something that thou hast sent me, and hath loved them as thou hast loved me. So this is a unique oneness. The Lord Jesus Christ in the believing heart makes possible the life that God expects. The life that is to be expected comes from God himself. The only answer, the only way to explain that life is by God himself. And it's all about God the Father. To make God, as the Father sent me, so send I you. I'm all about God the Father. The Father. Why the Father? If you're going to understand God, the wonderful person of God, you're going to start and understand God. How are you going to expose yourself? As the Father, by way of the Son, by way of God the Holy Spirit, and they will come back to the Father. God, the center God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, God the Father. He's the center. He's the center. The Father sent the Son. As the Father sent the Son, so send I you. I was sent by the Father. you are sent by me. The only explanation for my life was God. The only explanation for your life is mine. I am the Son. Hang on to that. And thus, John chapter 14 and in verse 20. John chapter 14, and picking up, please, in verse 20. At that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. At that day, when that comes, you're going to have a unique personal relationship to me. You're going to have that unique relationship. And in the process of that, you're going to show who I am. Now, I try to do a little thing, because that's so easy, and truth is so profound and simple. And being so simple, it is very profound. Now, you couldn't get, in verse 20, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Now, there's no big syllable words. They're all little words. Little words with an awesome movement to them. Now, I'm going to try to do that for you if I can. Now, here you are, up here, here you are. And thus, you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. So here you are here. And you receive the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going to start at the end of verse 20. I in you. Got that? I in you. Got that part? That's the end. Now the next part. And you in me. Got that part? And in verse 20, and I am in my Father. I am in my Father. That's that little words. I will make you one with me. Unique oneness. A unique oneness. Wow. God. It's an awesome thing. God will make us so one. Do you know your body, your human body you have, and you are a living environmental center. True? You know that. And you are hosting, and you should be so glad you're alive on planet Earth, because you become a host. You are the host. And you're hosting a great host of life. True? All kind. Bacteria, parasites, everything. You're hosting all of life. And you got that part? Do you understand that? When you look in the mirror, you don't see all that. When you eat your food, you have no idea. You are the host, and you are hosting the host. And the host you are hosting is hosting the next host. And the next host that you're hosting is hosting the next host. And it's all... Now, do you understand that? And that's all inside of you. It's all inside of you. Do you understand? Do you know that? You say, well, I don't understand how I can receive God. Well, listen, do you know you are inside your body? Do you know that? You are inside your body. Most of you. You got it? If we were to bring a corpse in, and the corpse was there, the corpse would be considered dead because the person is moved. Now, you are inside that body to make your body move. You live in that body. You have a unique oneness to that body. Do you not? And the day your heart stops beating, you are going to move from that body. You are going to leave that body. Do you understand that? And if you, now you say, I'm not leaving the body. Well, then you and the ground are going to have a wonderful time together. You're going to leave the body. You are going to leave the body. Do you understand? You're in the body and you're going to leave it. You have a soul, and in the person's soul is a spirit. You have a spirit. God made it. They're one. Do you understand that? That's inside of you. You can be demon-possessed, true, but a demon-possessed only can occupy. It can never possess. Never unite. Never unite. Foreign, it's forbidden territory. Forbidden. But a demon could come in. But when you receive God as your personal Savior, it's a unique oneness. Again, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ places me, comes into my heart. He is the Son. In the same breath, He places me in Himself. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. And I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. And I have a wonderful, wonderful thing. God, Christ, brings to me God. And Christ is in God. And that's a unique oneness. Verse 23, 14:23. Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we, my Father and I, will come unto him, and make our abode, our home, our dwelling place with him. My Father and I are going to come. Have a unique relationship to God. Father, Son, unique. Hang on to that. Do it again. Over to Galatians. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians 4. Picking up, if I may. Galatians 4, going to verse 4. But when in the fullness of time... When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might be receive the adoption of children, placed as full blossom sons with all the privileges, benefits, as sons, and because you are, present tense, because you are already sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son, into your heart, and he's going to cry, Abba, Father. And it's a present tense. You're going to keep saying it. Father, Father. So I'm very free. The believer is very free to say, Father, as a son, as a son, as a son, as a son. So when you see the Lord Jesus Christ, what do you see? You see a son. You see the Son of God. When you see the believing believer, you see a Son of God. They're a son. And they're going to trust God as a son. They're going to be a son. I'm a son of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. I'm able to go forward in time, in work, home, school, play, and show God. God is the Savior. He saved me. God is the shepherd. He's my shepherd. God is the sovereign God. He's my Lord. God is my life. My life. The life I live. Now, I live it. I live it. Where do I get it from? From God. Whose life is it? God's. He's indispensable for my life. Without him, I don't have any life. I don't have any life. So now what am I going to do to express it? how am I going to do it? The Lord Jesus said, I do nothing of myself. He just outlived his life. We aren't told what he ate. We don't know whether he ate two or three fish biscuits. We don't know. We don't know what he did. But whatever he did, he was going to look to God as a son. So when you see him, you see the Son of God eating and drinking, coming and going, you see the Son. When you see a believer, what is a believer supposed to be? A son. In the Son. In the Son. The Father is seen in the Son. The Son is seen in the Father. When you see the believer, you see the Son. When you see the believer, a son in the Son, then you're going to see the Father. And what's the believer going to do? Whether he eats or drinks, he's going to what? Do what? To the glory of God. That's what he's going to do. He's going to live his life. I'm a son, child of God. I'm going to live like that. So when you see me, who I didn't say I was a Protestant or a Catholic or a Muslim or anything else. I'm a child of God. He's my father. And the Spirit of God keeps me real fresh, Father. Remember it. So that I'm a son. If I say Father, then I must be a what? A son. You understand? If I say Father, then I'm a son. I want to use the term. I want to get it. I'm getting it. So I act like it. I live like it. Trusting God. Whatever I do it heartily as unto the Lord. And I'm going to do it. God. So Galatians 4, verse 7. Wherefore art thou no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Then the heir means to have possession. A possessor of the possession. You are an heir of God. You possess the inheritance that Christ made possible by his death, burial, and resurrection. You have a unique oneness to God in a unique way so that you can look to God with all your heart. And whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. And to walk in new, look over in Romans 6 while you're here. Romans 6. And in Romans 6, picking up in verse 4, you know. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism, identification, into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. We're to walk in the wonderful newness of life that God has given us. And therefore, verse 11, likewise reckon, calculate yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we're to live a wonderful life. And what are we going to do? Well, verse 13, I'm going to yield, present, verse 13, neither yield your members, eyes, ears, nose, throat, hands, lungs, heart, fingers, as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. No, but yield yourselves inside, the person inside, going to give that to God, looking to God, and God, you use. You take my eyes, ears, nose, throat, toes, and everything else. God, you take them and present yourself as alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So now, God, you're going to take my body, you bought with a price. So whether I eat, drink, I go to work, I go to school, I study, I read, I play, I come, I go, I'm a son. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. I do nothing of myself. I only honor the Father, the life of the Father. God, you've given me a unique relationship as a son. As a son in the Son. That's right. A son in the Son. See the Son in a Son. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 1:9. Sorry, I wandered a bit, but trust you got a little of this somehow. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Picking up, please, in thought. Going directly to verse 9, we were there the other day. God is faithful, by whom you were called, summoned with authority. God is faithful, by whom you were called, a summoned with authority, into what? Unto the fellowship, unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We have been summoned unto the state to enter into the state of fellowship which belongs to the Son, which he participates. God the Father and God the Son are one. To see the Son is to see the Father. To see the Father is to see the Son. He participates. He makes possible such a thing for me. And thus I become a joint heir, a joint participant. I participate in his interest, in his concerns. I have an active participation. Same love, same life, same labor, same law, same longing. Have the same thing. I have the same as he does. Want God's will, God's way, God's time? That's what I want. God help us now. And that is our fellowship. Is with the Father and with the Son. We're sons. So whether I'm on the ball field or over here, over there, work, home, school, play, kitchen, sink, kitchen, bedroom, what difference? I'm a son. Why are you a son? Because of the Son of God. What am I going to show? My father. What do sons have for? Sons represent the Father. Wow. Now, over if you would please, to 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. And you will pick up, please, in verse 1. Beloved, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons, children of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are, present tense, are we the sons, children of God? And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know. What do we know? We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Why? For we shall see him as he is. As he is. Who is he? He is the Son of God. What did he do? He saved us. Here's your little thing again. God did a wonderful thing. And he saved me. He saved me. So when the Father sees me, he sees Christ in me. But he can't see Christ in me till he sees Christ, me in Christ. He can't see me till he sees Christ. When he sees me, he sees Christ in me. Unique oneness. Oneness. I'm going to be like him. I'm not going to be like this. I'm going to be like him. I'm a son. He's my father. And thus, verse 3, you know, and every man that hath this hope, this expectancy, this anticipation in him, in Christ, purifieth himself, even as he is pure. He is pure. And if I'm looking to God, I'm looking to be like him. I'm like I am, but I'm looking to be like him. I'm looking to be like him. My hope, my expectation is to be like him. I'm a son. I walk as a son, live as a son, breathe as a son, I'll die as a son. I'm a son. He's my father. Can't you all say that? I hope. Wow. I have that hope. Now, in the meanwhile, while we're hoping and waiting, chapter 1, 1 John, in closing. First John, chapter 1. John 1, verse 3. Remember now, I'll even read verse 2 for a little context. For the life was manifested, we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life. How can you see eternal life? See the Son. See us. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath no life. To see me is to see the Son. To see the Son is to see life. I am a Son in the Son. And I have life. I want to show that life. I don't want to contradict it. I don't want to make it confusing. I want to look to God and help me to be a consistent testimony, like we shared in Sunday school a little bit. Now, in verse 3, I'll read verse, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, verse 2, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye all, we've seen it and heard it, that we may, you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, surely, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy might be full. Full. Wonderful, unique, personal fellowship. Just like that. John 14:20. Just like that. Wow. And we're able to have that uniquely. So God, here we are. A son. Live like a son. I feel like a son. He's my father. Your father. If you're saved, he's my father. Did I tell you? Got a problem? Have to go to my father. Spirit of God, are you going to help me? I'm crying all the time. So you never get lax, loose. I'm going to say Father to you from heaven's viewpoint. God himself is going to say it, Father, to me, to you. Crying in your heart, Father, Father. Wow. See? That's all. And that's what the bottom line is. When you're all done, God gave you a wonderful life, eternal life in His Son. And then He made it possible for you to live that life. To live it. Not trusting in yourself, trusting in God. So whatever you do it to the glory of God. You do it heartily as unto the Lord. Whatever you do. Work, home, school. You do it. You do it because you're fully alive physically and fully alive spiritually, and you're trusting God to help you through the thick and thin of it. God help us. And that's, apart from that, you could have 10 barrels of information. And you could have the whole Bible and memorize it. And what do you have? A whole lot of information. It doesn't do you a bit of good, you know. You know, when you are born, when the little baby is born, you know, usually they cry somewhere. They cry somewhere. And in crying out, they cry. And they cry because they're alive. And they're going to cry out, and they get fed and changed and everything because they're alive. Do they understand it? No, but boy, do they exercise it. And they reap all the benefits when they exercise it. If they just lay there still, boy, I don't know. They have to show life. And the little baby shows life without understanding. And it shows it. Being a believer and understanding God, you saved me. You gave me a unique relationship to who you are. God, I want to exercise it. Not with my IQ, not with my intellect. I just want to be alive, God. Just plain alive. And the person that wants to be alive is way ahead of the professor in the great seminary of nowhere. Because they want to be alive. The Lord is my shepherd, I just don't want to want God. I just want you to be my shepherd. See? Little old sheep. Shepherd. Not a big deal. No, I'm not me. Just me. God, you call the shots. Well, we'll pray. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace, kindness, and God help us. As we seek to try to lay hold of the wonderful, wonderful benefits that you have made so wonderfully simple and clear, if we would but take it, receive it, and go for it. God, deal with the heart of each one, that you would awaken them, A, to know you as their Lord and Savior. B, to be truly, if they are saved, God, to enjoy being, to practice being a son in the Son. God, thank you very, very much. So deal with our heads and our hearts, our homes, our health, our wealth, jobs and everything. God, help us. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen.